Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me all right? It's been a different sort of service today, hasn't it? It's been great. Been very blessed. Before we turn to our subject for tonight, should we just pray, commit our time to the Lord? Father, I just pray for this time this morning. I just pray that as we turn to your word, we'll be open to receive the truth of your word. I pray that by your Holy Spirit, our minds and hearts will be open to receive from you this morning. Thank you that you are a God that wants to bless us so much, that you love us so much, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now this morning, the subject I want to talk about is guarding your heart. And I don't know why I felt compelled to talk about this, but it's such an important thing, isn't it? It was great this morning to see so many people coming forward to be blessed by God and being touched by God after we sang that song. You know, just one touch from the King changes everything. But I really believe that as Christians, as believers, we kind of just scratch the surface of every good thing that God has for us. He's such a good, such a loving God, and he just so wants to bless us. But you know, there's a verse in James 4:6-7, where it talks about drawing near to God. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And sometimes we maybe come to a service and we come forward and we want this touch from the King, but during the week we've led lives where we've let all of the rubbish and the unbelief of the world pour into us, and then we come to church and want God to touch us, but he said, draw near to me and I can draw near to you. And I think sometimes, you know, we come forward for a touch and we've maybe placed ourselves out of his reach in a way. It's hard for him to touch us, to bless us, because we're coming to a service and wanting God to do something, but he said, actually, you've got a responsibility to do something so that I can touch you. So we're just going to consider this morning about how we can guard our hearts, and in guarding our hearts, how we can make them more receptive to receive from God, and to not only receive for ourselves, but to bless others through receiving from him. And our key verse this morning, there's no need to turn there, because it's only very short, but it's Proverbs 4:23, where it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And as I say, very often I think we can neglect our heart. We don't guard it. We just let so much of the world pour into us that it then becomes an issue in our spiritual walk. You know, we all understand really when we talk about physical diets, we all kind of get that when you eat something, it affects you physically. There was that program on television, wasn't there? I don't know if it's still on, but you are what you eat, where if you eat loads of junk food, you are going to put on weight. And we understand that, don't we? We might like cream cakes, but we know that if you eat those cream cakes today, there's going to be a price to pay later, because you're going to look slightly bigger in the mirror when you go and check yourself. And we kind of understand that. We understand that wrong things in your diet has a physical effect. But very often I think we need to be reminded that wrong things in your unseen diet has a spiritual effect. That is, everything that you look at, everything you listen to, everything that you do when you maybe go outside this church after a service does have an effect on your spiritual life. And that's really what we're considering and what we're discussing this morning. What I want to just talk about first of all is, what do we mean by heart? And I remember a few years ago I looked at this in the Word, because I said, when it talks about heart, is it talking about our spirit or our soul? What is it trying to say when it talks about our heart? And as you might have heard said before, we are body, soul, and spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it talks about soul and spirit as different things. We're body, soul, and spirit. Our body is kind of obvious. It's the thing that carries around our soul and our spirit. It's the physical part of us. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And our spirit is obviously unseen. It's the part of us that has to be renewed, as Brian spoke about, has to be born again. We're born with a spirit that's dead within us. And as we become born again, as we put our trust in God, give our hearts to Jesus, he renews our spirit within us. So we have a new born again spirit. And I believe our spirit that's born again is perfect in God's sight. That's why it says we can approach the throne of God with confidence. And if you were to die after having been born again, you'll go to heaven into God's presence, because your spirit is born again in perfection. We become, it says, doesn't it, the righteousness of Christ. And so there's nothing lacking in your spirit. And I don't believe that you can actually damage your spirit. I believe it's sealed and perfect within you when you're born again. But this is the thing. You've also got a soul. And when it refers to your heart in the Bible, it's not referring to just your soul or just your spirit, but it's referring to what's within you. What's within you is both soul and spirit. And the two relate to each other because your spirit is there inside you, perfect, and you're born again. But your soul, if you like, your mind, to just simplify a little bit, your mind can release what's in your soul, and your mind can release what's in your spirit, and also through your mind you can feed your spirit. You know, you can affect yourself spiritually by what goes in to your mind. Romans 12:3 is a verse I sometimes mention that talks about the renewal of the mind. It says, transform yourselves by the renewal of your minds. It's something that we have to do. We have to transform ourselves through the renewal of our mind. So our spirit has been transformed by God, and it took Jesus dying on the cross for him to be able to renew our spirit and make it perfect in his sight. But then we have to work on our soul, on our mind, and line it up with the word, line it up with the truth of God's word. And we have to work on that. It says, you transform yourself by the renewal of your mind. So it's what we do every day in our everyday lives that can affect whether our mind is lined up with God's word. Also, the condition of our heart can affect our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. We can find it difficult to discern things in the spirit if our heart's not in the right place. And there's another important thing, that if we don't guard our hearts, very often we can give the enemy access into our lives. And we're going to look at that a little bit more later on in the talk. But could you turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4, this passage of scripture, it's a great passage, but it makes it very clear that as children of God, we should be different from the world. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So here it's clearly saying that as children of light, we should be very different to the world. We put aside our old way of life, where we used to just really do whatever pleased us. We didn't really have any sensitivity towards God. And we just make changes that you don't see people in everyday life doing. We have to put these things into effect in our own life. And it said that as they live like that, they hardened their hearts. People in the world have very often hardened their hearts through the way they live. They just live to please themselves, and they turn their backs on God, and it can then be difficult for them to be sensitive to spiritual things. And you know, it can be the same for us as Christians. We can have hearts that are receptive to God through what we've allowed to flow into us, or we can have hearts that are hardened to God because we've been maybe not changing our lives. We've still been living in the world, and perhaps our lives don't look that different outside of this building to those unbelieved people that we deal with every day. I just want to give a little example of what we're thinking about. You know, truths in God's word very often are totally opposed to what is believed in the world in general. And you know, when we come to church, we believe for healing. We've seen amazing healings even this morning, praise God. And we know that the Bible tells us by the stripes of Jesus, we're healed. But perhaps our physical symptoms are telling us something that's opposite to that. They're saying, you know, you're not healed. You need to you need to put up with this suffering because it's not working. And the doctor is perhaps saying that what you've got can't be healed, you know, it's an incurable disease. But we need to believe what the Bible says. We need to believe this unseen truth over the physical symptoms and over what other people are telling us. So I just want us to consider that there's an imaginary person, and they're a Christian. They come along to church every Sunday. They've perhaps heard this truth. They come to a church maybe that believes for healing. They've heard this truth that by the stripes of Jesus you were healed, and that healing is there for us today. But then during the day, they like to spend a lot of time watching TV. They don't really read their Bible. They love watching the news, catching up with what's happening in the world. And, you know, on the news they talk about different illnesses and plagues that have come upon people and things that are going on. And they perhaps like to watch Casualties, one of their favourite programmes where people are ill. And you get where I'm going with this. And they maybe spend their time talking to their friends about all their symptoms because they like it when their friend sympathises and says how hard it must be for them. And, you know, they've been on the internet and they've researched their condition and seen how Wikipedia says it is incurable. And and they've looked at all the things that they can expect as it gets progressively worse. You know, that's the way very often we are, isn't it? And then they come along to a Bible service on a Sunday and somebody says, you know, by the stripes of Jesus you're healed, come and receive your healing. If they've been 95% in the world and letting all that unbelief and rubbish wash over them and fill them and enter them through their mind, and then they've maybe spent 5% reading the word and listening to some praise music, are they going to be more able to receive from God than if it was the other way around? They've maybe spent 5% of their time watching the news and doing other stuff, and they've spent 95% of their time reading the word, listening to praise music and being in communion with God and making themselves receptive to him. It's obvious, really, isn't it, that it's going to be easier for them to receive if they're in the right place, if their heart is in the right place, because they'll be believing what they're coming forward to receive. There'll be more faith there. And you know, very often people put it down to God's will when they don't receive from God, and they put all of the onus on God. He's not giving it to me, therefore he obviously doesn't want me to have it. And I think very often we have to look at ourselves and the way we're living. Are our lives in submission to God? Because he wants us to receive from him. He wants us to get in the right place to make it easier to receive from him. But what I want to make clear is that it's not a case of earning it from God. It's not, if you can be more righteous, you can receive from me. You have to do something to earn it. It's not about that at all. It's just about making our hearts more receptive. Because it says, doesn't it, in Mark 11:24, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And it says, believe, present tense, and receive, future tense. You have to believe it now to then receive it. And you know, that's an easy thing to say. You need to believe in order to be able to receive, but it's a very hard position, actually. It takes effort to get into that position where there's no unbelief there, and you totally are expecting to receive from God what you're coming to him for. That's a really, I think, difficult place to get to when you live in the everyday world, because to get to a place where you're coming forward for healing and you've already believed that you're going to receive it, you've already believed that you're healed, does take effort. It takes, you know, you need to make sure the right thing is flowing into you and that you're not in unbelief. You can be both in faith and at the same time have unbelief. You can come forward to receive healing when somebody makes an appeal, but then there can be even just a little bit of unbelief, a little bit of double-mindedness, and then it can then be harder to receive. Very often we can rely on the person that's praying and their belief to allow us to receive, because they're in faith, you can receive, rather than getting ourselves in the right place. And as we get ourselves in the right place, then we can begin to bless others. Other people can be blessed through us. So I want really to for us to take away some practical things that we can do to make changes in our lives so that we are less in the world and more in the word, if you like. And there's a couple of examples. I remember a time a while ago, it was actually after I came to this church, and somebody told me about some good Bible teaching, and I don't know why, but I wanted to move forward, and somebody was encouraging me. And I drive around quite a lot with my work, and I used to just listen to Radio 1 all the time. And I decided, right, I'm wasting my time, really. I'm sort of spending 1 or 2 hours on the road very often. And rather than listening to the radio, I'm just going to put some teaching CDs on and listen to those. And, you know, just that little decision made a big impact in my life. And even today, I very rarely listen to the radio. I usually either have teaching on, or I have the New Testament on, or I have praise music on. And just that one step really changed my life. Although it seems like a small step, doesn't it, really, just to listen to something different as you're driving around. But that's all I did, and it really did make a difference in my life, just that one thing. I remember a time as well when my wife Louise and I, we'd heard some teaching a bit like to my talk today, and we realised that we had a lot of rubbish in our house. We had bought a lot of, we used to like watching films, and we bought a lot of films on DVD, and we said, you know, we realised those films weren't good for us. They were worldly, you know, they weren't terrible by today's standards. They were sort of everyday films. I had like the Godfather box set and things like that. But I said to Louise, you know, this isn't good for us, and I don't want to watch them. I had no desire to watch them ever again. And we both felt like we don't even want them in our house anymore. So initially we said, right, let's, you know, put them on eBay, we'll at least get some of our money back. But then we thought, well, if it's not right for us to have them and watch them, it's not right for anybody to have them and watch them. And we had all these, we had DVDs, CDs, and we went through them all, and we had a very big pile of ones that weren't very good, and we had a small pile of ones that were okay. And we just trashed the whole lot. We destroyed them. We thought, we don't even want anyone pulling them out of the rubbish. I don't know how much we'd spent on all those, but I believe God blessed us through that. I believe that that was a right thing to do. And, you know, your flesh, the worldly side of you, saying that's crazy to having paid all that money for those, to then just throw them in the bin. But I'll tell you what, it was a great thing that we did. And it was, I think God, he's able to bless you. It's a step of faith doing that, isn't it? And I would encourage you, if you're in that same position, you've maybe got things in your house you know aren't really right, and you know that if you watched it, you wouldn't be blessed, and it's probably going to harden your heart rather than make you more receptive to God. I would encourage you to go through and trash them like we did. So, and if you regret it, please don't have a go at me. But I don't think you will. I don't think you will. It's a positive step. It's a step forward. It really is to do that. So moving on, I just want us to think about how we spend our everyday free time when we're not in this place. And I've put things into different categories. First of all, you can be listening to things that have a positive impact. If you're listening to praise music, you're listening to teaching, you're reading the word, it's kind of obvious that's going to have a positive impact on you and your spiritual walk as a believer. So that's one category of things that's positive. There's another category of things which is neither positive or negative that we spend our time on. There's probably quite a big area, isn't it? If you go and watch Ipswich play, then that's not really a bad thing, unless you sometimes hear a bit of swearing. But generally, watching football or sport is a sort of neutral thing, isn't it? You're not really taking in anything sinful and harmful, or fishing, you know, any of these hobbies. You're not taking anything in that's sinful and is actively harming you. But I would say this, if you're doing it to the exclusion of doing the positive things, reading the word, praying, spending time with the Lord, then it is a damaging thing, and we need to address the balance. If there's things in our lives that are causing us to exclude or not have enough time to spend in the word and with the Lord, then we really need to look at that. That's really a stronghold. If it's got a hold on you that's strong, that's what a stronghold is, it needs to be dealt with. It's something that's not right, because it's becoming an idol. It's preventing you from spending time with the Lord. So in small doses, perhaps it's relaxation and it's fine, but we need to recognize when it's preventing us from doing the things we should be doing. And then another category is things that are damaging, and you know, there's violence, sex on television and in films. We all know that that's damaging to us spiritually. It's not good. Even listening to unbelief, the world's view of things, is damaging to us. So there's another area of things that are damaging. But then I want to consider as well that there's another category where, through doing certain things, we open ourselves up to the enemy. It's like even more serious. And these things have a spiritual element, but it's not godly. It's not, you know, there's no involvement of the Holy Spirit. It's the enemy. And I've only got a short list here, but there's all sorts of things you'll be able to think of. Ouija boards, tarot card readings, using crystals, spiritualist meetings, horoscopes. And then there's some things that are perhaps less obvious, like martial arts and yoga. All of these things have spiritual elements, and yet there's even Christians that some of these things they think, well, it's all right just to dabble in those a little bit. It won't really hurt me to do that. But they open you up to the enemy. They're really damaging in our Christian lives, and we need to be aware of them. A little while ago, we were talking to a young lad, and he said his friend was really being affected at night because he'd been playing a game called Charlie Charlie. I don't know if any of you have heard of this, but he said his friend was being tormented by demons, is what he was describing, things coming in his room at night and tormenting him through playing this game. So we looked into it, and we offered to help this boy in whatever way we could. But basically, it's a rudimentary form of a Ouija board, but it's become very popular amongst children. That's why I want to raise it today, because some of us here have children, some of us have grandchildren, and it's absolutely rife, because we looked into it a little bit after learning about it. And you know, we've got three children. Two of them are in primary school. Our 8-year-old and our 6-year-old, who are in primary school, we said to them, have you heard of this game? They both heard of it, and they said, our friends play it, but we don't get involved. So even in a primary school in Felixstowe, children are doing this game, and it's a demonic Ouija board type game. And the reason it's so popular is because of, you know, social media and the internet, where children share. And also there's so many programs now on children's television with witchcraft, with all kinds of things. Yesterday our youngest shouted out, oh, there's magic on television, because we said to them, if anything comes on, any witches or magic or anything, you need to let us know and we'll turn it straight over. So our youngest said, magic, magic. There's magic on this program. So I went in and turned it over, and on the other end it was Young Dracula or something. It's so rife in children's television that we really need to not only protect ourselves, we need to protect our children, because it's moving more and more in that direction, you know, with Harry Potter and the popularity of Halloween. Children are so exposed to all of this stuff, so we need to really protect our children from it as well. It's something that children see as being kind of cool and harmless, to dabble in magic and to think about witches and witchcraft and everything else, but you know, it opens you up to the demonic realm, and it's a serious thing. So if you've got children and grandchildren, it's worth maybe having a chat with them about avoiding all of that kind of stuff. Another thing on the list, and we haven't got too much more to get through, is I could talk about all of them on the list and we could look at them in more detail, but I just want to highlight yoga, because it's another thing that's very popular in the world. A lot of people do yoga, and many Christians even do it and think, well, you know, it's not really that harmful, and it's seen as maybe just being a thing that you stretch and you go into funny positions. And I saw someone doing it on Felixstowe Beach the other day, and you know, it just helps with your mind and everything else, your body tones you up. But it's an incredibly dangerous thing to do, and a thing that a Christian should not be involved with. And I don't want to become an expert in yoga, because I don't really want to know all the ins and outs of it. But if I just read this bit that I took from a Christian website, I think you'll realize how serious it is. Yoga is in fact a form of Hindu worship, and it is an open door to demons. Yoga is meant to awaken the Kundalini spirit within the individual, a snake spirit said to be coiled around the base of the spine. Once awakened through yoga stretches, it is said to travel up the spine to the brain and open the third eye, or pineal gland, of the individual, which is an occult satanic term used to refer to spiritual vision. So, you know, this, just that short description of it tells you all you need to know. It's a demonic activity, and as Christians we should have absolutely nothing to do with it, and should even warn our non-Christian friends of the dangers of doing it. But the good news is, you know, if you've been involved in yoga or anything else that was on the list that I mentioned, that you can be set free from that, and God wants you to be set free from that. You have to turn your back on it, you have to repent of getting involved in it, even if it was maybe innocent, and God wants to see you set free from it. But, you know, it's so important not to be involved in things that we know are damaging to us. And, you know, our key verse, above all, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. It affects how we live our lives as Christians, how effective we are for the kingdom, what we put into ourselves from the world, what we feed our minds with. So let's just think about our everyday lives. What are we putting into our minds? What are we allowing ourselves to be exposed to? Because a healthy diet, in spiritual terms, makes us more receptive to God. And if it's all of the world's rubbish that's coming in us, all of the world's unbelief that we're exposed to all of the time, then it we become hardened to God's truth. And when truths of God's word are spoken and you hear them, then you become it's very difficult for you to accept it and believe it, because you're so attuned to the world's way of believing and the world's way of viewing the Bible. So I just want to conclude in saying that you know, we need to live as children of light. As we read in that passage, it's a wonderful privileged position that we have to be children of God, but it's not a case of you become a Christian and suddenly you don't have to do anything else. You can sit back because you've been born again and you don't really have much input. It's all down to God to do everything. We have a responsibility to guard our hearts. And please just think about how you can make maybe small steps or big steps in your own life to take in less of the world's rubbish and more of the wonderful truth of God's word. And we'll just finish there today. Thank you, Father, for what we've considered this morning, and thank you for the truth of your word. And Father, I just pray for any person here, myself included, who wants to progress with you, who acknowledges today that they've maybe had too much of the world washing over them, coming into them and affecting their spiritual walk. I just pray that we can all repent this morning for what we've allowed to come into us. And I pray against any effects of that in people's lives, any ways in which they've opened themselves up to the enemy. We stand against that right now in Jesus' name. Thank you that your word says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I just declare over every person here this morning that as they take that step of repentance, of acknowledgement of things that have been wrong, that they've taken into themselves, that right now your Son sets them free. Right now, thank you, Lord. Thank you that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We speak freedom over every individual here this morning, and I just pray by your Holy Spirit we'll be encouraged this morning to move forward with you in this world where there's so much darkness, there's so much evil, that we can shine even more brightly as children of light, and that we just understand the responsibility we have to receive from you, to bless others through guarding our hearts. So I just ask that right now in Jesus' name. Amen.